are listening to Spoiler Alert Radio, all things film, locally and globally, podcasting at spoileralertradio.com. I am your host, Tony Pinocchia. On this episode of Spoiler Alert Radio, we speak with advertising director and filmmaker Amy Weber. Amy is a former advertising producer from two of the largest agencies in the world, DDB Needham Worldwide and BBDO. Amy left advertising behind and became a university educator. It was as an educator that she was inspired to bring the worlds of education and film production together. So Radish Creative Group was formed to produce some of the most respected and sought-after educational programs for youth around the globe, which caught the attention of MTV, HBO, and Nickelodeon. Amy has also developed numerous television and film projects, such as two children's programs and her feature film directorial debut, Annabelle and Bear, which she also wrote and produced. Annabelle and Bear is a product of a 100% Michigan cast, crew, and soundtrack. Amy envisioned a homegrown product to showcase the local film community in a struggling economy. Annabelle and Bear is the story of a man who finds himself thrust into fatherhood at an unlikely time, taking him on an unexpected journey that leads him to discover the life-altering love found in the heart of his little girl. Welcome, Amy Weber, to Spoiler Alert Radio.
Well, thank you for having me.
Great. First, if you could tell us about your start in the advertising world as a producer and what led you there.
I graduated from Eastern Michigan University in their television and film department. I was interning at two separate places. I was interning at what is now UPN 50 here in Detroit. At the time, it was Fox 50, it was called. And I was also interning at an offline post-production house called Harvey's Place, and had a great little niche between those two internships, and it led to meeting the right person at the right time. There was a producer at DDB Needham looking for an assistant producer at the time, and that's kind of where I got my start into advertising, was I interviewed with her, and things just kind of went from there, and my career just took off. I was not only in the right place at the right time, but I was also the right kind of employee at the right time. I was 19 years old and going from school directly into the advertising industry happened very quickly for me. I was very lucky, but I was also extremely hard worker and had the right attitude. And now, of course, being a business owner, it's so important to have that when you're starting out.
From here, prior to founding Radish Creative Group, you took a break and worked in a variety of different areas, including teaching. You know, what was that experience like?
Oh, teaching was one of the greatest experiences I've had so far in my life. When I was in advertising, I was a couple years into it. I went from DDB Needham to BBDO and was working on a lot of car accounts. That's pretty much the advertising world in Detroit. And there was something missing for me, being able to make a difference in the world and through this medium, film and television. And I didn't think that I would be able to attain that goal being in advertising. I was a national producer on the Dodge account, and I was offered a teaching position at Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts. And I knew I was going to go back to school to get my master's regardless. And it was a wonderful graduate teaching program through Eastern that fully funded my master's degree to be one of these graduate teachers. So I walked away from advertising and said, I really think there's something more that I have to do out there. So that is how that went down. And I spent 2.5 years teaching and going to school myself as a student. And from there, that is when Radish Creative Group was formed, because I designed a program for my students with a friend of mine on job seeking, interviewing, and following up for my students. And from there, that's kind of what launched Radish Creative Group and getting into educational programming. It's kind of an interesting twist and turn in my career, but very, very rewarding.
You know, as far as the Radish Creative Group, tell us about some of the projects that you've worked on, you know, prior to going into the feature film world. You've worked on a number of, like, public service announcements, advertising. Maybe tell us a bit about some of the things that you've been proud of that, you know, Radish Creative Group has produced.
As far as the educational aspects of Radish Creative Group's productions, I would say a series on teen violence that I did back just before Columbine. that we had pitched to our client at the time. It was Cambridge Educational. They were purchased by Films Media Group, but at the time it was Cambridge Educational, probably my top educational client. And what they do is they distribute educational programs to schools, middle school, high school, and college level all throughout the country and parts of the world, as well as partner with the Channel One Network, a subscription type of cable network that runs through schools across the country. I think one of my proudest programs was called Breaking the Barriers of Violence, and this program featured four stories. One story about bullying, how a girl was tormented ever since a very young age to the point that she fantasized about killing students in her class and the people that tormented her. There was a gentleman who was gay who was bullied as well, and nobody did anything about it, meaning administrative individuals, teachers, and so on. So his story is pretty compelling. A former gang member who was beaten and left to die by another gang. And the fourth one was a very brave young woman, Alyssa, who was continuously raped by her own boyfriend. The documentary made such an impact that I had HBO, MTV. This is when the networks kind of started recognizing Radish Creative Group as a developer of real, impactful programming. It ignited a new path for Radish that we wanted to go more into the social responsibility type of programming. From there, we launched programs on everything from teen suicide to eating disorders, child abuse, drug, alcohol, and tobacco addiction, minorities in the workplace and a lot of challenges they face, including little people. That was one of my favorite programs we did that featured a little family and some of the struggles they've had. Of course, minorities, African American, Hispanic, anything that shook or rattled the cage. That is what I was aiming for in those first formative years at Radish. I miss those days, and we are going back into that, but on a larger scale now with some potential networks.
You are listening to Spoiler Alert Radio, all things film, locally and globally. On this episode of Spoiler Alert Radio, we are talking with advertising director and filmmaker Amy Weber, whose directorial feature film debut is called Annabelle and Bear. You've also moved into the feature film world. You know, tell us about your working on feature films and also how that would link to helping, you know, the financial state of the economy in Michigan.
Well, Annabelle and Bear is my first feature film. And from the advertising to the educational world, back into advertising, because this time as I went back into advertising with Radish as the production company and myself as the director, I do pretty much exclusively all of the production work for a wonderful advertising agency out of Detroit called Brogan & Partners. And that relationship has opened so many doors in the work that they have provided me with to challenge me as a filmmaker, as a storyteller. So I wanted to transition into the feature world without harming any of my stable relationships, like with Brogan or with Films for Humanities and Sciences, my educational client. So we wanted to do it on a scale that we could control it and do it on our own time. How Annabelle and Bear began was first with the dream, secondly with a great story, great script, and great people to make it happen. But also, we opened the door to Michiganders and said, we understand that this is a time that things aren't looking so great for the state of Michigan. This was the summer of 2008. Things aren't looking so great for you individually. And what we want to do is we want to open our doors to Michigan to say, if you want to change your life, and if you're serious about it, join us for this experience. The goal was to conduct an experiment. If we were to create a 100% Michigan-made product, from the script down to the last note in the soundtrack, to the products in the film, 100% Michigan made by Michigan people featuring Michigan talent and Michigan products. What would that look like? Could we do it? From there, a whole new revolution kind of took place. that we not only could do it, but we helped so many people in the process who were then on their couches depressed, had no hope for the future. They lost their job in automotive or relatable industries. They are now working as production assistants, grips, production designers, location scouts in big Hollywood productions that are coming here to Michigan. They have new careers. So I think, yes, we have a great movie, but what I'm most proud of is what Annabelle and Bear symbolizes, the hope that it created, the jobs it created, and hopefully a movement that I know Radish will continue on, but hopefully other production companies will follow suit and say, we can do that too.
So how was Annabelle and Bear funded? You know, are there suggestions you could give others that are looking to develop features in their local communities?
Well, the first thing you have to do is have a lot of friends. And I never knew how many friends I had until I started the process of Annabelle and Bear. And the second thing you need is someone near and dear to you. In my case, it was me, that has a nest egg set aside, that believes enough in the project that he or she will invest in it. But make no mistake, I could have never funded this movie without all of the friends that came on board who have the equipment, the talent, the skills, and the passion for filmmaking. Because without those folks, I could have never done this project. And I'm talking everybody from my incredible director of photography, Peter Sensor, who not only donated his talents, but he also donated his 16-millimeter camera. We shot the film on Super 16. I don't even want to start getting into naming everybody because I'm going to name them all, from Jeff Moon to the producers to the actors. These were all first-time actors except for a select few who are within our agencies here, and we came out and said, we cannot pay any of the actors. We cannot pay any of you. We cannot pay the most skilled gaffer, Dean Horn. We cannot pay Jeff Moon for his audio services, Kinetic Post for their incredible online and color correction services, Justin Hines, my unbelievable editor, and Matt Downey, my incredible audio engineer and mixer of the entire film, or any of my musicians. But what I can do is promise that once this film goes somewhere, which I will do everything I can to get it somewhere, I will then pay you all after. So we did deferred payment, or we call it the promissory agreement, to say to everybody, do you want to be a part of something incredible? And that's not even including the hundreds of people who worked for free with no promissory on the back end. They worked solely for experience and to be a part of it. So the first ingredient that was necessary was the passion. That came easy. And then I think you really have to have kind of a credibility behind you. And for myself, it was an honor. It was very humbling that everybody kind of signed on without a lot of effort. It was kind of, I just made some phone calls. And how humbling was it that people said, I'm in? I think that speaks loudly to the work we do at Radish. And what a couple people said to me was, I would have done this with no one else. I did this because it was you. I did this because I knew you would be making a quality product. And so to hear that was incredibly unexpected, to hear what some of them would say about attaching themselves to the project.
Well, let's go back to the great story element. You know, where did the concept of Annabelle and Bear come from? It's a unique family road trip, especially with the circumstances around it. So tell us about sort of creating at least the initial story. And was this based on anything that you had known of or someone you knew?
No, Annabelle and Bear was not based on anyone I know. It is 100% a fictitious story. The story behind how the story came about is there was a breakfast meeting that a mutual friend had connected myself and another aspiring filmmaker. He was somebody that had dabbled in films that he had produced himself. He was actually on the line at Ford. This was his full-time job. And so we sat down one Sunday morning for breakfast, and we had a great talk. He was just this great guy who had wonderful energy, and he kept saying the same thing to me over and over again. Make your film, Amy. Make your film. And I was laughing at him because I said, yeah, I have a screenplay that I don't think that's the film I should make first. I'm waiting for that great idea. He goes, it doesn't matter. Just make your film. Collect your friends, grab a camera, make your film. Because until you make your first film, no one's going to take you seriously. I said, well, I kind of like to do things right. And he said, there's no right. Just do it. So I chuckled and I walked away from that breakfast inspired, motivated. And it was interesting because I believe that every person I meet and every door that opens has a purpose. It has a meaning behind it. So I just kind of waited for that to come to me of what reveal, what that breakfast was all about. And it didn't take long. Within a couple of hours, I was headed with my family to my parents' house for our usual Sunday dinner gatherings. And my daughters were in the back seat. And at the time, my one daughter was, I think she was 2.5. And as we were driving down 96, there was this big burly biker that rode past us on his Harley. And he had tattoos all over his arm, both arms. He was incredibly big. And he was intimidating. And I chuckled and I said, wow, I wonder what his story's about. Because he just looked like a very interesting guy. A little while longer, we caught up to him on the road. And it just started dawning on me about how cool it would be for that big guy to have a little girl in his life, his daughter. And I said to my daughters at that time, I wonder what his story would be with a 2-year-old little girl strapped on the back of that bike. And so I started just talking, starting with the opening of the film and the story. And, okay, what if the story opened on, and by the time I arrived to my parents, which was about 20 minutes later, the entire story was conceived. It was written in my head. So I called my writing partner, Tracy Sims. She's used to this. I'll call her and just, I have a film idea. And I told her the whole story as it pretty much lives today. And it took us 9 months from there to write the screenplay.
You are listening to Spoiler Alert Radio, all things film, locally and globally. On this episode of Spoiler Alert Radio, we are talking with advertising director and filmmaker Amy Weber, whose directorial feature film debut is called Annabelle and Bear. Having a film based in Michigan and getting some new talent involved out of that, you know, were there any challenges with finding the right people and working with them being new, you know, that sort of educational aspect? And then another part of it, you know, music is a big part of the film. So maybe how that all worked with incorporating the songs and where those would be and that sort of thing, and how that was selected, that process.
Well, with the cast, we held an open casting call. We had over 4,000 people between cast and crew walk through the doors here at Radish. And from that, we found an incredible cast. And that's one of the consistent comments that are made about the film by people that see this film, is that the cast seems like they're real. And that's what I was looking for. I'll give you an example for Bear, for instance. Bear, played by Kurt Massoff. Kurt was a former student of mine at Specs Howard. Years after I taught him, he came through my doors again. This time he was a shooter and an editor, and he wanted to show me his work, but it had been so long since I had seen him. We kind of reacquainted ourselves, and when I came up with the story of Annabelle and Bear, Kurt, he's never acted, but I wrote the role for him. It was his to lose. I took him through the ringer, he'll tell you. Didn't just hand it to him. He had to work for it. Little Annabelle, for instance. Annabelle, 2 years old. We found Olivia Walby, who plays perfectly little Annabelle, through the open casting call. Her mother was actually late for the audition. They showed up a little bit after 5, and our staff was like, oh no, come on in. And she was one out of 4 that I consistently called back. The thing about Olivia was that she didn't have blonde hair, and I always thought Annabelle had blonde hair, so I had to get over that in order to fully embrace Olivia. And then once I did, she's an incredible mimic. She is the heart and soul of this film. Their relationship is the heart and soul of this film. They couldn't have been played by any 2 other people. And then we discovered some incredible talent outside of Bear and Annabelle. Trisha, who plays Bear's girlfriend, Kimberly Crutchin Brooks, who plays Grace. Trisha was played by Dale Bouet, an incredible performer who performs down at the casinos and has her own one-woman show. Cole Corey, who plays Raymond. And then the gentleman who plays Goldie is Kyle Jason, who goes by Jason Myers. I believe he was a captain in the armed services, and he was injured in Iraq. And so he's retired at 24 years old and decided he wanted to be an actor, and he plays Goldie. And the chemistry between Bear and Goldie is just great. Their relationship is so tight. People actually think they were friends before the filming. So the cast kind of all fell together and meshed just like everything with the project. Very proud of all of them. They were great.
And then the music?
And the music. When it came down to how am I going to be able to score an entire movie with no money, I was speaking with a couple people in the PR side of things, and we were talking about how we cast the film, crewed the film, and in that conversation it came up, I believe it was Jenny Fedorovich from Filming in Detroit, who said, what we should do is reach out to musicians who want to get their music in a movie. And then simultaneously we were like, a competition. And with her help, I was able to make this competition happen. What we decided to do, announce that Annabelle and Bear is looking to compile an incredible soundtrack to score the film. We asked musicians, bands, solo artists, aspiring musicians to send us their stuff. We will then hold a competition of the top 10 songs that we select. We'll post them on the website. We'll have Michigan vote for the one song and the one artist that will win a cameo role in the film. We received over 500 entries, and it was difficult to find those top 10. But we did, and Nervous But Excited, it was kind of neck and neck between Nervous But Excited and their song Said and Done and the Vigilante Sidekicks. So what we did was, because it was so tight, we gave them actual both cameos. We allowed Vigilante Sidekicks to play in the bar where Bear hangs out to locate Raymond, and Nervous But Excited plays a little acoustic version of Said and Done outside of the motel that Bear and Annabelle are staying at. And it was so successful that we not only scored the entire film, but we ended up with a soundtrack that I'll put up against any indie soundtrack out there.
You are listening to Spoiler Alert Radio, all things film, locally and globally. On this episode of Spoiler Alert Radio, we are talking with advertising director and filmmaker Amy Weber, whose directorial feature film debut is called Annabelle and Bear. How did you choose the locations to shoot for Annabelle and Bear? You know, one thing to mention is that there is a scene going out to Maine, so I'm just curious of that one in particular, but any others you might want to mention as far as location selected?
Well, when we wanted to find the most authentic locations, and especially with a very small budget, we knew that we could not do a complete redress of a location that would exist. So we did look in communities that would allow us kind of the backdrop that we were looking for. And Tina Constance, our incredible location scout, she went out and did her thing. She's such a social butterfly. She can get anything from anybody. And she would walk into restaurants, she would walk into motels, she would walk to people right up on the street and be able to go and take pictures. And we found some unbelievable locations in the Detroit metropolitan area. And every single location we worked at, from a business, they were so accommodating and so supportive of everything that we were doing, including the Stone House, a legendary bar down in Detroit that was actually crossing over ownership. And they allowed us full access to the place. They were remodeling it, so they said, do whatever you want to it, but we did not damage it at all. Every location we were in, it was an incredible experience, and the people were so supportive.
So tell us about sort of the status of Annabelle and Bear at this point, and then also any future projects in the works.
Annabelle and Bear is still seeking distribution. We've had a lot of inquiries about the film, but no deals as of yet. We are most definitely trying to find the perfect match for the film. We're not looking for a film just to be put into someone's catalog and be distributed through the possibility of someone seeing it. We're really looking for that right person who can come forward and make it their everything, kind of like how we made it our everything. Somebody who can get it into the doors that it needs to get into, I think if we had our own distribution arm here in Michigan, I don't think we'd have to reach out any further. But the reality is we do have to get it into the right people. So as of now, we are in search of that. There are a couple people who have stepped forward. One of them is a wonderful actress that I'm speaking to who is out in L.A. but is Michigan born and raised, and we're hoping for big things from her. That relationship looks like it's going to blossom, and that could finally mean that we could get Annabelle and Bear where it belongs. So that's where Annabelle and Bear is. As far as Radish and myself, we are developing other projects. We have a reality series centered on bullying. We have that out right now to a major network that we're hoping to have some serious discussions with very soon. A Broken Life is another passion project. It's a traditional, untraditional family that I really feel that it's time that the world gets to see a family like this. Really hoping for big things. Don't have that one out yet, but that one is ready for production. I'm writing my second screenplay with two wonderful screenplay writers who are working with me. Again, my partner Tracy, and then a wonderful writer, Don Philbrick. We're writing another screenplay, and that is not going to be a family film. It's actually going to be a lot grittier than Annabelle and Bear. It deals with sex addiction and rock and roll. Hoping to be shooting that by next summer. And then I was approached by a great author who has a book based on a legend out of Detroit. I don't want to disclose any of this, but he's asked me to turn his book into a feature film. And if all goes well, he'll have the money completely secured by the first of the year, and hopefully we'll be in production for that early spring. So we're doing a lot of things here at Radish, of course, with our advertising clients. We're still doing work for them. But on the side, we definitely continue to develop, and hopefully we'll have some new films out there for people to see very soon.
Well, great. Well, thanks so much, Amy Weber, for taking the time to talk with us today on Spoiler Alert Radio.
Well, thanks for having me. It was great talking with you, too.
You have been listening to Spoiler Alert Radio, all things film, locally and globally. Podcasting at spoileralertradio.com. I've been your host, Tony Panacchia. On this episode of Spoiler Alert Radio, we spoke with advertising director and filmmaker Amy Weber. Amy has developed numerous television and film projects with her company Radish Creative Group and her feature film directorial debut, Annabelle and Bear. Annabelle and Bear is the product of a 100% Michigan cast, crew, and soundtrack. Amy envisioned a homegrown product to showcase the local film community in a struggling economy. Annabelle and Bear is the story of a man who finds himself thrust into fatherhood at an unlikely time, taking him on an unexpected journey that leads him to discover the life-altering love found in the heart of his little girl. For more information on Amy Weber and her work, go to radishgroup.com, annabelleandbear.com, or click the links under the show information for this episode at spoileralertradio.com. Spoiler Alert Radio is an emerging arts production produced by Tony Panacchia and Paul Elsnaw. Thanks for listening.